What is going on, Reset Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Operation Self Reset. I am Jacob Naraki. Thank you so much, like always, for joining me on today's episode. And usually, we talk about somebody's life. Usually, I have an inspirational gentleman or lady to share with us their wisdom they have created. Well, we're not interviewing anybody. It's actually a more of a personal episode, more one-on-one. And I'm calling it How to Keep Your Cool. And how to keep your cool is something that people have said for many years, hundreds of years, and it's just kind of keeping a level head. And because we all have gone through ups and downs in our life. If you personally have not gone through an up and down, I want you to reflect on your love life. Have you liked somebody and they did not like you? That was an up and down moment. Did you achieve a goal and then afterwards you actually failed at it because you thought you achieved it, but you really didn't because you forgot to hand in that paper on time or whatnot? The examples can go on and on and on. So today we're talking about how to keep your cool, and I'm going to share with you the examples and experiences I went through to keep myself cool, but along the way, reaching excellence. Excellence is kind of a grand term, so I'm just going to say reaching your potential. Yeah, potential, sure. So I want to take you back to the beginning of this podcast. I started this podcast for two reasons. Number one was for my wife was pregnant with our first child, and I was kind of freaking out. Second, which was kind of the main factor, was I was going through a difficult time in my personal life. I was going through bankruptcy and foreclosure with a couple of real estate investment properties. These investment properties were two duplexes on the east side of Milwaukee. And I'm going to try to break this down the easiest possible. I'm not going to get into the really details and talk mumbo jumbo and real estate terms and everything like that. But I want to give you a background on what was happening, and I want to share with you the outcome. The outcome's good, so let's start in the beginning. So I bought these properties. They were very poor condition. I walked to a bank that I had some connections with. It was a very large bank here in Milwaukee, and they allowed me, or they gave me the loans. Not only did they give me the loans to buy the properties, but they also gave me a construction loan. A construction loan is basically additional loan on top of it to enhance the place. I had to do everything. Cabinets, a floor, furnace, hot water heaters, concrete, porches, roof, windows, everything and anything, new electrical, new plumbing throughout the whole building. It was almost like building a house from scratch, but I had already the frame up and insulation and the walls and siding. But everything else I had to completely redo. And that was fine because I was a young lad at the time, and I decided to take it head on. And I used a lot of that funds from that construction loan to enhance the place. And the place looks beautiful. It really does. So the only way I was able to get these loans from this bank, we'll call it Bank A, from Bank A, was to have a commercial loan. A commercial loan is a loan that lasts anywhere from 3 to 5 to 7 years. A standard traditional loan is possibly what you have for your house if you own a house yourself, is more of a 10 to 30 year fixed mortgage house. You just keep on paying that mortgage month after month until you pay it off or you refinance or whatever. So I had to go a different route than the traditional mortgage. So that means that within 5 years, I was to go back into the bank, give them a progress update of where I am and how the numbers and my rental income and all that stuff. And then usually I would re-sign up and life is good, right? Well, of course, the 5 years came about a year and a half after the big market hit, early in the couple years back. And I think we all can remember that. And I remember sitting at home watching world news and all that stuff. And these people are devastated because they're upside down in their mortgage. They can't afford the house that they bought and they're thrown on the street. The banks are taking these houses. The banks can't sell them fast enough. And the economy is going down the tubes. We all remember this, right? Well, it was funny because I was thinking to myself, man, that really stinks. No harm, no foul. I'll be okay. I didn't even think about my own personal issues. Well, the following year, I look on my mortgage tickets and it said August of that year, my mortgage was going to come due. At first, I was a little panicked, but I figured not a big deal. I'll work through it like I always do. I was good with the bank. I made payments. I was never late. I had income coming in from the building, so I was not afraid or worried of them kicking me out. Well, Bank A, my original bank, got bought out by Bank B. Bank B came in, and they wanted to clear the books. You know, Bank B is a big national bank, and actually it's a Canadian bank, and they have stockholders behind it. So Bank B wanted to kind of clear some of their books to start bringing in more revenue to enhance their stocks, to enhance the people that, you know, buy the stocks for that bank, and they feel happy, and all that. The CEO can make more money, whatever. So I go into, as August approached, I contacted my mortgage lender. My mortgage lender is now with Bank B, a gentleman I never met before. I meet up with this gentleman. I bring all my paperwork. I hand it over. I'm looking good. I was going to say in a tux. A tux is a little much. I was in a suit. I was dressed appropriately. I want to let them know that I'm a businessman. And I walk in. I hand him my stuff. We start chit-chatting, general stuff. I'm giving him the breakdown of the numbers. Things are going good. They're all re-rented. Not a problem. He looks at me. He looks at all the stuff, and he goes, Jake, I'm sorry to say, everything looks good here, but we're going to have to ask you to leave this bank, which is Bank B, and find another bank. And I was like, oh, okay, why? You know, and he goes, well, we're just trying to clear a lot of our books. And, you know, you only have two buildings with us, and they're not worth a lot of money. And we just want to kind of get rid of the small guys in our portfolio. And I was like, okay, not a problem. You know what? I have connections. I know people in the business. Not a problem. So I go out and I try searching for Bank C. I contact, this is no joke, 26 banks. And all of them said no. Basically, I'm not going to bore you with all the other details. Long story short, they just said that I'm upside down in my mortgage. I owe too much on these buildings compared to what they are worth. And so I thought, not a problem. I tried searching for Bank C. No bank is allowing me to come on in. I'll just go back to Bank B. I'll sign the paperwork and we'll extend it out another 5 years. I go back to Bank B. I sit down with the same gentleman, again in my suit, again with my story, and I'm feeling good. And he approaches with a question of, how much do you enjoy these buildings? And I said, well, they're great. You know, I put a lot of sweat equity in them. I bought them when I was younger. They're really close and dear to my heart. I really watch over them like a parent watches over their children. And he goes, well, I'm sorry to inform you, but you have two options. I'm like, okay. Number one, you can file for bankruptcy. And I was like, whoa, bankruptcy. And he immediately followed that up with, you could foreclose on these buildings and hand us the keys and walk away from these buildings. And he was stone cold face. And I was like, what? I mean, I was in shock. I asked him, you know, 36 questions afterwards, you know, trying to pick his brain, like, why, you know, why would this happen to me? I can pay the mortgages. I wasn't delinquent. I was never late. I can pay. Like, I just didn't get it. I couldn't wrap my head around it. So I walk out of that place pretty much in tears. I was very emotional in that meeting. I was a hot mess. I was very, very angry. But I was never angry at that person, because the gentleman I was speaking with at Bank B, that's his job. If I worked at a convenience store and somebody was unhappy with a product, I would not be, you know, really mad at that individual. I'd be mad at the corporation. And that's what I was. I was mad at the corporation. And so from there, I didn't know what to do. I was a hot mess. Luckily for me, my father's good friends with a lawyer. This lawyer is not a bankruptcy attorney or anything like that, but this gentleman, when he was younger, he made some investments with his brother, and he was in the same pickle. The bank kind of pretty much pushed him out, and they bought some land, and they had to forfeit their land. And he told himself that if he came across somebody that was in trouble, like how he was when he was younger, he would try to help him out the best he could. And that is kind of what happened. And the thing that I want to share with all the listeners right now, when you hear people on TV and they're like, oh my gosh, I lost my home, I'm delinquent, all that stuff, chances are either A, they lost their job and they could not pay the payment, or their job was not paying enough for them to keep paying the monthly installment on their mortgage. And of course, there's more scenarios than that. And what's funny is a lot of people, as they found out about my personal story, they were kind of blaming me for the destruction of America and, you know, I'm part of the bailout and everything like that. The thing that I kept on telling them, I'm able to pay my mortgage. It was never an issue of myself not paying, you know, my monthly installments. It was basically the bank just didn't want me on their in their portfolios. So throughout this process, it took about almost 2 years to complete. And I can honestly say that now I am with Banksy. Banksy is a great bank that has allowed me to come into their life. And I was able to do that because I had to buy some stocks in that bank because it's a smaller bank and the details don't matter. But regardless, it's over and done with. So what the heck does this story have to deal with you and your transformation in life? Well, like I said, the title of this podcast is called Keeping Your Cool. And there's a couple of moments through this story, for example, that I want to share with you of keeping your cool and working through the problem. Now, there's two types of people when they would hear something like this. Oh my gosh, I would get up and, you know, I would start freaking out, panic, anxiety, be mad at the world, angry every single day. Or the other side is you just take it one day at a time and you work through what needs to be done to try to resolve this. My game plan was I knew I could resolve this. I don't know how I was going to do it, but I knew it was possible. And the only way to do that was to keep a level head, keep my cool, and to keep on just taking one day at a time. I wasn't worried about long term. I knew if I just kept my cool, it would work out. And that's not the secret sauce. The actual secret sauce, I mean, the practical point of this whole story, the reason why I was able to keep these buildings and not go bankrupt and or not file for bankruptcy and not foreclose was because I kept on making the monthly payments. That's what I did. I went around to different banks, you know, excuse me, different locations and kept on making deposits. And when it came time for me to show up in court, because Bank B, who owned my loans, they wanted me to have a mortgage company run my buildings until we were able to figure out a long-term settlement, either bankruptcy, foreclosure, or I was able to find another bank. I walk into the courtroom. I'm again dressed in my suit, again with the family friend lawyer who, you know, went through this whole process. And we sat in the courtroom and the judge was peppering me with questions. Nothing crazy. There was no jury there or anything like that. They were just asking questions. And the thing that she asked was, is Mr. Naraki able to make his payments on a monthly basis? And will he be able to continue to make his payments on a monthly basis? And my attorney said, yes, he has. Here's the documentation. I had all the copies of the checks, all the documented statements saying that I deposited money into the bank, Bank B, on a monthly basis throughout this whole thing. So the judge settled with me saying, A, I did not need a management company, and B, we should try to figure out an agreement because Mr. Naraki is able to pay his mortgage payments. And at the end of the day, it's all about the money. It doesn't matter if they want to kick me out, it's about the money. So the one thing I can share with you, if you go through hardship and difficulty, I'm not saying that, okay, I should say disclosure. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a bankruptcy attorney. I'm not a foreclosure lawsuit attorney. I do not have any previous experience in this except this one occasion. And if I was to say to you, if you wanted to continue to hold on to your property, and there's going to be a lot of people that say, stop making payments, just keep on making payments. You may or may not resolve it because of it, but I guarantee you it will help. That's all I'm going to say. It's just going to help. I'm not going to say you're going to get the same result that I did, but it will help in the long run. So what's another improvement, or what's another point of keeping it cool during this process? So I want to share with you what I did when I realized that this could either go down a road of destruction or it could go down a road of positivity. The night when I walked home, or that afternoon when I walked home after talking with Bank B and him telling me either foreclosure or bankruptcy, I did one thing that was really helpful actually. I took out a piece of paper and I was very emotional. I was very angry and irritated and pissed off and all that stuff. And I wrote down on one side really bad things, and on the other side of the paper I put decent things, good things, pretty much. And what I did with the really bad, I wrote down all the things that would be really, really bad if this went horribly wrong. If I did file for bankruptcy, if I did foreclose on these buildings, you know, my credit would be ruined. My wife would be mad. We wouldn't be able to plan for a future like we wanted. All of these different things that I had lined up in my life would kind of take a backseat because of this bankruptcy. So I wrote that on one side of the paper. And then on the other side of the paper, I wrote the good things that could happen if I did go into bankruptcy or foreclosure. For example, I would not have to drive half an hour from my house, you know, numerous times during the week to fix up the apartments, to cut the grass, to do maintenance, to check up on the tenants and everything like that. Another good thing was I would not have to, keep up on the rent. And I'm not saying, I'm basically what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes people are late. I would have to call them, text them, you know, go to their apartment, knock on the door, all of that stuff. So a lot of, the, you know, pluses. What would be the benefit if I did lose these properties? And so that gave me clarity. And I know it sounds silly, but it was really, really nice for me to see the absolute worst. Like, what's really going to happen? You know, are they going to shoot me in the leg? Are they going to take my big toe? You know, no. You know, okay, yeah, I'm going to get set back on some goals and stuff like that. And yeah, it's going to be a punch to the gut. But regardless, I'm still going to have my health. I'm still going to have my personal house. I'm still going to have the cars that I have and you know, still be able to live a life. You know, I do have a full-time job. So I would still have my revenue coming in, you know, month after month. And I would be able to survive. It would stink. It really would. It would be very tough and difficult, and I'd probably be a little disappointed, but at the end of the day, everything would be okay. And on the flip side, the good things, there are a couple of positive things if I was to let go of these buildings. A lot of headaches, a lot of irritations, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of, you know, broken furnaces and the you know, dead night of a cold winter night. So there's pluses and minuses to everything. So keeping your cool, no matter what this situation is for you, it doesn't have to be this deep or difficult. It could be something even worse. It could be a personal health issue. It could be a divorce. It could be a loss of somebody that you really love. And I'm putting this in just terms that it's, you know, relates to everybody. Whatever happens to you, don't feel bad writing down a really bad and a decent or a good part to whatever scenario you're encompassing in your own personal life. And if it's maybe less hearted than this, maybe it's a breakup of someone you've been dating for the last 6 months. Maybe it's a idea that you're implementing on and you realize there is actually a product out there, then you're like, oh man, I'm so disappointed. Well, what are the pluses? Well, you don't have to start a business and, you know, you don't have to have the sleepless nights, whatever. So those are a couple of things that really helped me. The second thing that I want to say is take one day at a time to keep your cool. Taking one day at a time really allowed me to look at each day individually. Easier said than done. Instead of getting emotionally into this whole thing, thinking to myself, when is this ever going to come to an end? Because this was drawn out, I mean, months and weeks and days, and it just wore me down. I started thinking to myself, I just got to take it one day at a time. When they would say, hey, Jake, we got to get a rent roll sheet from you, I would tackle that project and I would send it off. And I wouldn't worry about, you know, what did they need tomorrow? What do they need next week? I would just take it one day at a time, and allowed me to look at my inbox to see what they needed, and I would forward them the proper paperwork or to have the group meeting to resolve this matter. And that allowed me just to take it in chunks, because I do look at the big picture. You know, I look at where is this going to go? And I was starting to get a little worried and panicked, and it was just nice to know, okay, man, just today, just looking at it today, no sweat, no worry. And I kept on referring back to that sheet, the really bad and the decent and good stuff. And you know what? When I would really start to worry and panic, I just kind of reflected on those two things, and it helped me. And the last thing to keep your cool, especially during a big tragic event like this, is to play nice. Now, imagine yourself finding out that your credit card, you signed up for a credit card and you charge $1,000 on the credit card. And you thought the credit card was a 0% interest credit card for 1 year. But actually, you had to spend $2,000 in your first month to qualify for the 0% APR for 12 months. Well, instead, you only charge $1,000. You get your first credit card bill. You think, great, it's at 0%. I can just pay this off over time. And you realize that the APR, the interest rate for that credit card, is 26%. Oh my gosh, you are going to be furious. Not only are you going to be mad at the credit card company, you're going to be mad at yourself for not looking at the details. So you're probably going to call up that credit card company and you're going to start to B-I-T-C-H them out. You're going to get angry. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to be cursing them personally. You're going to be cursing the company. When has that ever worked? When has it been that you walk into a store and you were so mean to the customer representative, the person working there, that you actually got what you wanted? Now, some people are probably saying, I have. And that may be the case, but I guarantee you that that does not happen as much as if somebody played it cool. Let me say it like this. I know a gentleman that works for a big airline company, nationally known, huge. He's a manager of their customer service division. And he basically screens the calls that are coming in of customers complaining about lost luggage. The flight was delayed. They missed their grandparents', birthday party. Things got messed up. They had to take, a connecting flight as opposed to a nonstop. All of that stuff. And he said, per verbatim, I'm not going to say his name or what company he works for. He said the people that play nice, that are genuinely nice on the phone, and yet they're still talking about the disruption that they had on their flight, chances are they'll either get a free flight or they'll get some other benefit because they were nice on the phone. Yes, nobody likes being late. Yes, nobody likes their plane, transferring and coming in late and complications and losing luggage and all that stuff. Nobody does. Truly, nobody does. Nobody, even people that work at the airline industry, they don't want that to happen to them. So if you play nice on the phone, if you be a person that you wish you were talking to, you will probably get what you want. The same applies to that credit card scenario. If you call them up and you be true and you be nice and you say, hey, you know what? I can't wrap my head around this. Can you please explain it to me? They may drop that 26 APR to 6%. I don't know. Or they might be able to slide you into that 0% APR for, instead of the 12 months, 6 months, if you play nice. Now, you're thinking to yourself, okay, that might work only so far. So what if I do call that airline company and I play nice and they go, oh, sorry, ma'am or sir, there's nothing we can do. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm done playing nice, and you start freaking out. You could do that, and maybe you're justified for that. But again, you're not going to get anything out of it. So the next thing you should probably do is step it up a tier. Go to that next level. Can I speak to the manager? Can I speak to your supervisor? And there, instead of freaking out and being Mr. T, you pity the fool, just be nice again and talk it over with that supervisor manager. And I guarantee... Well, I shouldn't say guarantee, but I know that the chances are better for you to get a better outcome than if you were to freak out. And that really helped me through my problems and scenarios with this rental property. I had a group meeting, a phone call with myself and my attorney, along with all the people at this Bank B. And it was a good call. I thought I played it real cool. I was very emotional in a way of, hey, this is my stuff. I never thought it would come to this, kind of really breaking down, these are my buildings. I'm emotionally attached. I don't want to give them up. And I was really being genuine. I was telling them who I am, Jake Naraki, an emotional creature. And the people on the other side, of course, they had to go off of what the high up people said, but they were a little looser in some of the terms and ideas than they would have been if I was on that phone call freaking out, being angry, talking about blowing up that bank, whatever, So those are my three tips. Number one, write it out, the bad and the good. Number two, take it one day at a time. And number three, play it nice. And you should. Again, I am not a CPA or anything like that, but you should get the results that you are looking for. So that's over and done with, and it feels really nice because now I'm able to carry on with my life. I'm able to think about my family's future. My wife and I are expecting our second child in February. This time, I'm not freaking out as much. Maybe I will shortly here because we're going to be finding out the gender very soon. But it's something to consider, and these issues arise in our life all the time. My example that I just said, it may be big for some, it might be very minuscule for others. People are going up and down in their life every single day worse than I could ever imagine. But the one thing that I have done time in and time out is just stay positive. Know that everything happens for a reason, and that might be a little fluffy, that might be a little broad, and some people may not get it, but you really have to believe that we are all on a journey of life, and things are going to work out and things are not going to work out. When things don't work out, what are you going to do? You can't change it, so you have to live with it. And that's why I say you just got to go with the flow, and it's meant to be, and all that stuff, because it will work itself out. So next, positive thing that has happened to me recently. I have spoke of it a couple of times. I am in a book. I'm holding it right now. It's called Bold, Helping You Unleash the Hero Within. And the main author is Melissa Kurvacek. I think I destroyed her name. I actually had her on the podcast a while back. And it's funny how the people you meet in your life can alter the direction. So Melissa and I had a podcast interview. It was really good, really inspiring. If you can't remember, Melissa worked at Walmart when she was very young. She was an up-and-comer in the Walmart company. And the way that she was able to be a very good store manager was she had two sets of books. And I guess per protocol, per the government, I don't know, she couldn't have two books. She was fired, basically. So from there, she moved on to kind of helping people in their business, organizational skills, everything like that. And her and I connected. We had the podcast interview. It was very good. Afterwards, I actually had her as a personal coach for 1 month. And that month was very, very intense. It was really good insight on the things that I was doing wrong and the things that she knew worked. She has invested a lot of money into herself, and she was giving me, and she was trickling down that information to myself, and it was really beneficial. And what I want to say here, long story short, is that every single person that you meet in your own life, you have no idea how they may or may not transform your life. Melissa and I hooked up. I was a coaching student of hers for 1 month. After that month, we still good terms. Everything was great. We still, chatted via Facebook here and there. But when she was thinking of creating a book, she thought of me. I am a co-author of this book along with Les Brown. And I don't know if you know who Les Brown is. Les Brown is a old school motivational speaker. He has been in the motivational space for many, many years. He talks about greatness. You have greatness within you. Kind of the basis is his thing is bringing out your inner self, bringing out your best every single day. And Les Brown is a big influential member of my life. Yeah, I really respect his work. I really jive with what he's talking about. And when I heard Les was going to be a part of this book too, I was giddy like a school child. I was like outside of myself. I was so happy. I was amazed. I was so thankful and grateful and just amazed that I was going to be a part of this book. And I'm not trying to push this book. If you want to buy the book, have at it. Great. If you don't, that's fine. But I'm just trying to take you through my journey here and explain to you that every person that you meet, you connect with, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever, they potentially could have a huge opportunity for yourself. And you're thinking to yourself, Jake, I'm not in the business. I'm here to change my life. I'm here to transform my body, my mind, my goals, my success, my failure into something great. You will, but you cannot do it alone. You need assistance. You need help every once in a while. And that's why connecting with people is absolutely huge. And I speak of it all the time, going to meetup.com, looking for different groups in your local area and connecting with like-minded individuals, because you never know where these relationships are going to come from. So how does the book relate to the title of this podcast, Keeping Your Cool? Well, when Melissa asked me to be a part of this book, I wasn't like, oh my God, thank you, I'm so unbelievable, and like starstruck. I played my cool, and I knew that I needed to bring my A game. I was actually kind of freaked out. I played it cool, though. She goes, hey, do you think you could think of a solid chapter for this book? And at the time, I had no idea. I mean, she just dropped that book bomb on me, and I was like in shock still. I'm like, okay. So I played it cool. I'm like, yeah, I can handle it. And after that conversation, I immediately went to the notebook and I started, you know, outlining a chapter and trying to think of where I wanted my story to go and everything like that. And the funny thing is, not only the people that you meet in your own personal life, you never know what they can and help you with, but you will be surprised. You can do more than you ever thought. I never thought I was a good writer. I can write and, you know, a blog post or whatever, but I never thought that I personally could become a really good writer. And my wife, Vanessa, was leaning over my shoulder one night and I was kind of breaking down like, where do you think I should go with this? Or how should I tie this story in? And she was kind of, you know, reading the story as I was going. And she could not believe how good of a writer I was. And I was even surprised at myself. I mean, I'm reading my chapter and I'm just like, wow, that sounded really good. Like, where did that come from? So you will be personally surprised at what you can accomplish. You don't know how good you are until you do something. And when I first had my child, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, when you have a child, you stink. Well, at putting on diapers. I mean, diapers stink in general, but you are bad at it. You put it too tight, you put it too loose, it's in his wet, you know, it's tucked up in there, and then it leaks, and you didn't pull out the tabs, and you put it on backwards, and, you know, all that stuff, and it's a nightmare. But after like 20, you're a master of putting on a diaper. The same's with cutting your grass, you know, making food, cooking, cleaning, drawing, guitar, music, any hobby, anything that you do in your life, even the job that you're in. At first, you stunk, you sucked at it, but like anything, you got good at it. So you don't know your potential until you do it. And at least do it a couple of times. The first draft of my chapter was horrible. It was like a first grader was writing it. But then I jazzed it up. I added more. I enhanced the stories. I enhanced the emotion that went behind it. And I pulled from books that I personally enjoyed. And I kind of just kept on adding to it. And sure enough, this chapter is really good. I really enjoy it. I really like it. And obviously, there are like 10 other entrepreneurs that are in this book with me. It's like a co-author book. Melissa's the main author, and then myself, Les Brown, along with all these other people are co-authors, and we each have a chapter, and it's really cool. I'm holding the book right now, and it's kind of inspiring, and it's funny to think, man, I'm already in a book, and I'm trying to write my own book, and it's interesting to think that we all do have a story in ourselves, and I think I'm pulling away from, you know, How to Keep Your Cool, the title of this podcast. But I was at a National Speakers Association last night, and we're going around the table, and this one guy, is a professional speaker. He had leukemia. He's gone, you know, he has all these crazy stories and all these events, and it's like, wow, each story, it's just wow after the next, and better and better and better. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, to myself, like, man, that guy has done a lot, man. That guy has seen a lot. That guy has quite the array of stories, and wow, he's really interesting. You know, and I'm like thinking to myself, am I that interesting? I don't even know if anybody really thinks I'm that interesting. But what I realized, and I even said it there, I was like, you know, everyone's like, oh, kind of like drooling over his stories, and I'm like, whoa. I was like, you know, I'm not going to name his name, but I was like, sir, you have some pretty impressive stories. But the crazy thing is, we all have stories within us. We all have gone through some stuff. Our vision, our lens that we have on our eyes is different from yours. Even though you and I both got in the same fender bender, I look at it totally different. You look at it totally different. We all have a different perspective on life. So if you're thinking to yourself, I don't have a story within, I'm not that interesting, I'm not that creative person, you really do. You have done things that nobody else has ever done. You have viewed things in a way that nobody else has viewed. So when somebody comes out with a book and you're thinking, oh, that's, you know, an average story, their story is totally different. And the same with you. You have a story within. Why not bring it out? I'm not saying you need to write a book. I'm not saying that you need to start a podcast and a blog. All I'm saying is that you are more impressive than you even think. Your stories are interesting and funny and sad and emotional, and they make fun of yourself and you make fun of other people, and it's just interesting. We all have a story within. So don't be afraid to share that. When you go to those parties and people are telling stories, don't hold back. Share your story. Share something funny that happened. And the best thing about it is that the more times you share that story or other stories, you get better at storytelling. And the best way to engage people or for people to like you is to become a very good storyteller. So that's a little side note. And last but not least, I have finally a t-shirt. Yep, I know, popular demand. You guys have asked for it. And I do have a t-shirt. And if you're interested in getting that t-shirt, just head on over to the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/OSR fan page. So the challenge that I have for you today, how do you keep your cool? I want you to head on over to my website in the bottom, leave a comment. How do you keep your cool? Is it just thinking clear? Do you put on good music? Do you eat some healthy food? Do you talk to your parents? Do you talk to your girlfriend or wife or husband or boyfriend? How do you keep your cool on a daily basis when issues are coming into your own life? That's kind of the secret, you know, and the only way to learn that is from people like yourself that have gone through it. And I know you have a story within, so share it. You don't need to type out the whole story, but tell us, how do you keep your cool? And it's a great way to allow other people to see what works for other people, and they can implement it in their own lives. And if it works, great, they can keep it. If it doesn't, they throw it out, they do something else. So that is all I have for you today. Thanks for keeping your cool. Thanks for listening to me, like always. You guys really do rock. And if you would like a free copy of this book, it's, okay, well, two ways. Number one, you can go to Amazon and pick it up. It's called Bold, Helping You Unleash Your Hero Within. You could buy it, or you could get a free one. What? A free one? That is outrageous. Well, yes. Okay, how do you get a free one? I need you to leave a review. If you have already left a review, you can leave another one, or you can let me know that you already left a review. So I want you to do a couple things. There's a couple steps. Ready? Got a pen and paper? Here we go. Number one, you have to go to iTunes and leave a review. Okay, that's obvious. Number two, I need you to email me. Email me at ask@osreset.com. In that email, you're going to say, Jake, left a review. My Apple ID name is, you know, Smith is cool, John 10. And you don't have to tell me what the review says or anything like that. If you want to attach a screen grab, great. iTunes does take between 24 and 48 hours for your review to show up. So if you do leave a review, please email me, ask@osreset.com, and I will send you a free signed copy of this book, Bold. It's just a step in the right direction. It's actually some pretty cool, interesting authors in here. There's everything in here. It's a fitness, business, entrepreneurship, creative thinking, pushing past difficulty, and all that stuff. And my chapter is on endurance. Yup, endurance. And it's not like, you know, I got the name from a book that I read from Ernest Shackleton. It's called Endurance. That's a whole nother story. I'm not going to get into it. Ernest Shackleton, if you're interested, he tried going to the South Pole and crossing it, and he encompassed a lot of difficulties. So many difficulties. It's almost unbelievable that he survived. So that's where I got the name for this book, or my chapter, Endurance. And it's just talking about keep on going, never stopping, no matter what, just day in and day out doing it. So from there, I appreciate you guys very much. If you would like a free book, leave a review, email me saying I left a review with your screen name or a screen capture, and I will send you a free signed book from this book that I meant, Bold. So like always, guys, you guys truly do rock. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys so much. Like I say numerous times, if you are in a difficult place in your life right now, if you need assistance, reach out to me. If you don't, and if you are going through difficulty and you need somebody to lean on, I am there for you. I really do believe in you. I really do believe in you. And that's no joke. There are people out there that don't have any friends or family that believe in them, and they're on this island by themselves, and they're not able to do anything. I believe in you. I know you can do it. I'm behind you 110%. So if you're thinking to yourself, man, everybody thinks I'm going to fail. Everybody doesn't think that this goal or mission or business is going to work. I want you to personally know that I believe in you, and I believe that you can achieve what you are trying to access. So with that being said, like always, guys, you are awesome. Take care. Enjoy your week. We'll catch you in another 2 weeks. And if you would like a free copy of this book, leave a review on iTunes, send me an email at ask@osreset.com, and we will keep in touch. Take care.